What is Sanatana Dharma? See, the word Dharma has no English equivalent. We may need another long day to bring the intricacy and the beauty of this word and what it represents. But for now, let's take this to mean that which sustains harmony through righteous living. So Dharma is that which sustains harmony through righteous living. It may be a long phrase, but it's simple to understand. In Sanskrit, the word sana means that which is ancient, very old, or beginningless. So the principles contained in the Sanatana Dharma are derived from time immemorial, and this is what the term sana represents. If they have left it there, just as sana, Sanadharma, then it would be like any other religion which claimed to be ancient and old and perhaps becomes outdated. There is a suffix tana. Tana means offspring or something which reforms, that which is refreshed. So Sanatana refers to something which is old and beginningless and also indefinitely refreshed or rejuvenated. Do you understand? That's the reason Sanatana Dharma is still fresh and continue to evolve and will exist forever fresh and fertile. That's why the learned called Sanatana Dharma as eternal principle. How can Sanatana Dharma be eternal? If there is a book, it must have beginning and end, is it not? But Sanatana Dharma is not mere books of knowledge. It is truth, but nothing but the truth. Truth is eternal. As in the example by Swami Vivekananda, Sanatana Dharma is like gravity, which exists before its discovery by the scientist. And it will continue to exist even after all of us are dead, is it not? So the first thing I'll ask you is that you must identify yourself as a follower of Sanatana Dharma. It's fine to say that you are a Hindu, which makes it easier for others to understand your values and orientation. But you must believe and practice as the follower of Sanatana Dharma. I hope you would accept this proposition as we start refreshing our ideas about Sanatana Dharma through the satsang classes like this. A question arises. How is Sanatana Dharma be continuously refreshed to reflect the changing times and yet maintain the eternal truth? In fact, this is the major and unique differentiator of Sanatana Dharma compared to all other religions. Sanatana Dharma, as part of its remit, also establishes and directs what is called as Yuga Dharma, a directive for contemporary living. Understand? While the eternal non-changing truth is established in the Vedas, known as Shruti, and forever remain unchanged, a set of Yuga Dharma is also given through a number of texts known as Smritis, which would undergo changes We will understand all this in great details in due course. But for now, know this as the major distinction which keeps the Sanatana Dharma forever fresh. By allowing amends to the Yuga Dharma according to the changing time and the nature. Such flexibility is needed because the purpose of Dharma is about sustaining harmony and righteousness in the changing world. For this one reason itself, the Sanatana Dharma will never perish. So there is absolutely no need for the passionate amongst us to get anxious about the recruitment of members through forced conversions of belief, etc. Because Sanatana Dharma extends the canvas to accommodate all humankind. Sanatana Dharma does not need our help for its survival. But we need Sanatana Dharma for our progress. The next question comes in, but who brings such changes to Yuga Dharma? How can we know that changes are correct? This is where the scholarship and the spiritual leadership in the society are sought. At every major crisis of world order, where the Yuga Dharma is compromised, causing anarchy, there arises a force that rewrite the code of conduct and reorient us. Like the Lord Krishna who gave Bhagavad Gita. Like Buddha who rose up to awaken the people who are so engrossed in a ritualistic endeavor without any social empathy or love. Like great Adi Shankara and other great avatars who came onto the earth to refine our way of life. There is a Sanskrit word called mat, which means to accept, to approve. Matam. Matam is a suffix used for various religions. Buddha matam, Jaina matam. The religious centers are called mat or matam in English. So the word matam means approval. For example, sammadam, san plus matam, good approval. The prefix san is a Sanskrit refers, in Sanskrit the prefix san refers to good or perfect or eternal. It comes from the root asti, to remain eternal. Like Sampurnam, Sambandhi, etc. So in Sanatana Dharma, the role of a mat is to be the custodian of Yuga Dharma, to provide advice where changes as and when are required, so that the governance of Sanatana Dharma is in perfect order. Understand? The Yuga Dharma is not only for spiritual order of life. Take, for example, a good government. So when it drafts a constitution for its citizens to follow, it's like the Smriti, as it provides some aspects of Yuga Dharma for the country. So many aspects of Manusmriti, for example, are deemed irrelevant today and discarded. Because many Smritis come and go. But there is one which is hailed as a supreme of all smritis and revered as the Veda themselves is Sri Bhagavad Gita. In the Gita, Lord Krishna says the Yuga Dharma must be refined as necessary to the changing times in order to ensure the successful pursuit of Sanatana Dharma. The other question that we have in our mind is, why are there rituals in Sanatana Dharma? You see, rituals are not by themselves bad. In the madness, there could be methods if you really seek. But I do completely agree that superstitions are only to be discarded. But I also bring the caution. Even truth, when not realized through validations, may remain as mere superstition. So, do not use the same broad brush to discard all rituals. Rituals are just coded methods to mark a special way of action. Rituals are differentiators to see us off from the ordinary deeds in our worldly life. You know, you have seen our UK Parliament. Every time the session starts, the MPs wear a fancy outfit and follow some preordained path in a melodramatic walk until the Queen appears and blesses the session. Is it not? It's a ritual, and we accept with reverence. The direct benefit of such ritual is not questioned, but the derived pleasure and the inherent markings of the occasion are celebrated. Is it not? So are the festivities and rituals in our Sanatana Dharma. So before rejecting them, we must learn to understand the purpose behind them. Of course, then we may choose to follow or not, taking the consequence as our own responsibilities. But very often, as rituals are tested and validated by many generations, following them actually yield benefits. That's the truth. But truth alone is not good enough. It needs to be realized. It needs to be relished. To maintain a healthy body, it needs certain calories of food with certain minerals, vitamin, fat, etc. That's what our digestive system does by working hard to extract all these nutrients from what we eat. Why troubling the system to toil? Can we simply inject the key minerals periodically and to stop eating? What a miserable existence it would be. Where is the enjoyment then? See, eating is a ritual, is it not? We shall not dwell on the ritual aspects of this stage, at this stage. But just note the key point. You know, Sanatana Dharma, enjoyment is a key aspect. It's a key goal. It is both a means and the end. Rituals and festivities provide enjoyment. Remember this. Enjoyment and perfection are the two key identities in Sanatana Dharma. To enjoy and to be perfect are both the means and the goals of Sanatana Dharma. Where do we start to understand the vast ocean of Sanatana Dharma and to have a grip of its infinite wisdom? This is a big question. I'm not going to take you into any particular aspects today, but try to set up a context so that we all know where and how we approach for a better understanding of Sanatana Dharma. We should look at the core of the Sanatana Dharma and perhaps, with the grace of God, meet again to understand the key terms of references which are necessary for a deeper understanding. In Sanskrit, there's a word called krama method. to understand Sanatana Dharma, we should follow certain approach to understand the key terms of references. I shall borrow an idea that I learned during my discussion with my good friend, Dr. Ranganathan. You know, as part of his PhD on social sciences, he has analyzed the evolution of Hinduism, and his research showed that distinct groups exist who exhibit different levels of understanding and appreciation and assimilation of Hinduism in their lives. This can be seen as those who are in the periphery, those who form the principal aspects, and those who comprehend the philosophical aspects of Sanatana Dharma. So peripheral Hinduism, principal Hinduism, and philosophical Hinduism. For our discussion, I propose to approach Sanatana Dharma, to bring out the Sanatana Dharma Saram, or the essence of it, on this three layers approach. Know that these are not separate and disjoint, but they differ in the aspects and approach and certain nuances. The outermost layer, known as the peripheral Hinduism, is mainly dogmatic, highly ritual-centric, and the followers are based on strong faith and or fear. As we discussed before, dogma is different from truth. Dogma is a set of rules that are generally unquestionable until it is changed by those who have the power. Truth, on the other hand, is realizable and subject to scrutiny. It is based on understanding and acceptance. At the peripheral Hinduism, the followers simply perform a set of rituals, accept them either out of faith or fear, until such time they are able to move or progress towards other layers of evolution. But many Western analysts only look at the peripheral Hinduism and paint a wholly misconstrued description of Sanatana Dharma. The aspects of peripheral Hinduism are also necessary as they suit certain type of followers in the evolution. Let's not dwell on it anymore. The middle layer, which is also the most identifiable of Hinduism, represents the principal Hinduism. It is where the most known and popular knowledge of Sanatana Dharma are displayed. The faith based on trust and rituals based on love and the commitment to show compliance to the principles predominate this layer. Most of us are in this layer only, I would say. In fact, without applying the principles of Yuga Dharma, a meaningful life cannot be achieved. So those are the drivers of the principle Hinduism. The core layer is a philosophical Hinduism. Here, faith is based on knowledge, and compliance is due to the wonder and awe of the wisdom, not of fear. We need all these three layers as they fit different attributes, capabilities, moods, and the opportunities of the mankind. Generally, most of us start or initiate at the periphery. You remember when we are young, we are told to do things. Not much to understand, but to follow. This is the right thing for the age. But many may stay there and create their own way of progress. On the other hand, the middle layer, the principal Hinduism, is full with rich heritage, stories, pujas, mantras, personal and social festivities, contexts, many do's and don'ts. I may even say more than 70% of the Hindus are in this sphere. Some may tending towards the lower layer, the periphery. Some may emerging towards the upper layer, the philosophical. But the dominance is on the principal layer. Compared to this, the philosophical layer, the core of Sanatana Dharma, is very deep. While one may graduate slowly from other layers to this, what may be useful and may be necessary is that everyone must understand the philosophical layer or the essence of it. Only when the core philosophical concept of Sanatana Dharma is understood, the context of seemingly unscientific approaches of other layers could be appreciated. So therefore, today and in the next few sessions, I like to focus on the philosophical layer. Just enough to set the scene. Okay? The Sanskrit word tattvam can be loosely translated as philosophy in English, which is not a good translation, but an acceptable one. In general, philosophy means love of wisdom. But the term tattva is very heavily loaded. We shall be using this term and looking at it more detail as we progress. In simple term, tattva refers to knowing the knower. Knowing the knower. How can the knower be known? This is where the Sanatana Dharma tattva should be understood. So let's start from the beginning. We took the meaning of the term religion is to bind, to attach what has been separated from the Supreme. So from this definition of the word religion, there are three things implied. The Supreme, the infinite forms of existence like you and me, and thirdly, some force that either keep these as two separate existences or bring them closer to bind. Do you understand? So religion implies the three things. The Supreme, from which the forms separated, the force that either separates or binds them together. Understanding this big equation is a universal quest. All sciences, under the guise of theory of everything, is paraphrasing only this problem and seeking answers only to this question. To our seers in India, this riddle is the most profound goal to solve. That tapas or penance have resulted in great many revelations. These revelations are in Vedas, in the part known as Vedanta. Anta means the end of Veda or the essence of Veda. The supreme scientific quest under the theory of everything, as well as the Vedantic revelation about God, I, and the world, were exactly same. Is it not? Science may call in a different terms. And may these scientific terms may be refreshed and altered as it stumbles from one finding to the other. Big Bang, string theory, quarks, photons, black holes, yes, no. That evolution, that change of concepts and the approach would change. But Vedanta calls these three in a definite terms known as Paramatma, Jivatma, and Maya. Of course, there are many, many approaches in Vedas. Other subsidiary paths of Veda, for example, in Saiva Siddhanta, these three may be known as Pati, Pasu, Pashu, and Pasam. So there are a number of ways, a number of different interpretations of these three important terms. We shall see this in the future session. But why should we discuss God? Who in this room is able to describe God? Those who see cannot speak of God, as he is beyond speech. So says the Vedas. Therefore, let us not pretend to define or describe God. We will learn about the aids of God, God realization in due course.